She was a candidate for the biggest job in the world.
I am so honored to be here tonight.
And she wanted everyone to know she was up for the task.
So let's not forget that you're hiring a president not just to do what a candidate says he or she wants to do in an election. You're hiring a president to be there when the chips are down.
And while Hillary Clinton's quest for the White House derailed for all sorts of reasons, one thing's for certain. She got a rough ride from many simply because she's a woman.
Thank you.
Okay, so running for president of the United States isn't exactly your run-of-the-mill job interview. But some of the backlash Clinton experienced plays out in job interviews every day.
We were looking really to sort of try and better understand some of the ways in which people might discriminate against more ambitious or agentic women on a hiring interview.
Corinne Moss Rakusin is a PhD candidate at Rutgers University in New Jersey. She was part of a research team that looked at how men and women are perceived in job interviews.
What we found, in a nutshell, is that evaluators tend to sort of stress perceived dislike of ambitious women.
Ambition. Apparently, we love it in men, but loathe it in women. Here's how the research worked. They hired actors, both male and female, to play the role of job seekers vying for a computer lab manager position. They were asked a series of questions and given identically scripted responses to act out. They were asked questions like, what are your technical skills? How will you handle conflict resolution? Have you traveled much? Then they had volunteers watch the tapes of the interviews, and those volunteers assigned scores on a scale of 1 to 6.
So we measured three things. One was perceived social skills, so women's perceived likability relative to men. Also, their competence, and then their hireability.
What they found was that female applicants routinely scored lower on hireability scales if they came across as agentic.
When we say agentic, we refer to sort of a host of characteristics that are typically associated with ambitious professional men. So examples would be definitely being ambitious, but sort of having high career aspirations, speaking about oneself positively, sort of aggressively going after promoting oneself and one's career.
Okay, so here's how these agentic folks sounded when asked to describe their managerial style. Here were their precisely worded answers.
There's no question about it. I like to be the boss.
And there's no question about it. I like to be the boss.
I let people know what's expected of them, and I'm able to lean on them if they lag behind.
I let people know what's expected of them. I'm able to lean on people if they lag behind.
But I'm also quick to spot talent and to promote
talent
people who
and to
deserve
promote people
it.
Who deserve it.
Okay, so here's where things get kind of wonky. The women who came across as ambitious in the job interview.
Listen, there's no question about it. I like to be the boss.
Women were being penalized in terms of their social skills. So they were viewed as equally competent to men who presented themselves in an ambitious, agentic way. But they were viewed as less likable for sort of violating our stereotypes about what makes a good woman.
And those agentic women, they scored significantly lower on their hireability score, on average close to 1 full point out of 6 compared to the male applicants. Remember, they're saying exactly the same things. So the people who were judging the job seekers, those folks who were assigning the scores, they switched the hiring criteria. They basically changed the rules of the game midway through the process. It was one standard for women and another for men. To help me better understand why confident and competent women scored lower on hireability, I headed to the Rotman School of Management.
Yeah, my name is Jennifer Bertel, and I'm an associate professor of organizational behavior here at the Rotman School of Management.
So if I'm on a hiring committee, what do I need to do in order to check my biases at the door so that I actually do wind up hiring the most competent candidate regardless of gender?
Well, you want to try to hone in on the qualifications of the candidate. And I also like to advise people to do the mental switch so that if they've just interacted with somebody and they've had perhaps a negative reaction to them, ask themselves, if this person were of the other gender or if this person were of the other race or whatever it is that you're trying to train yourself or catch your bias on, would I have had the same reaction?
And for women applicants who are naturally confident and assertive, Rutgers' Corinne Moss Rakusin.
I would say to stress competence and to be sure to kind of communicate some communal, friendly, likable traits as well in the process of really stressing how competent and qualified you would be for this potential job.
And to help us keep it in perspective, Moss Rakusin's grandmother, She's got this advice.
I recently had a conversation with my grandmother, who's been alive to see a lot of changes and a lot of progress for professional women. And she likes to remind me that not only do you have to look at where we are now and where we might not get to, but we also have to look backwards and see how much progress has been made and in a lot of ways how far we have come.
For CBC Radio, I'm Tina Pittaway.